And the reason for that is it's often the first time, again, that somebody has a literal picture of what's happening underneath their symptomology. And so it can be really validating to say, you know, I've lived this way my whole life, or gee, I always thought that maybe it was because something I was doing wasn't helping with my anxiety. But if you can understand where that's coming from, again, obviously neurofeedback could be helpful, but it also is really validating just to go through that process alone.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network. Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, once again to Rochester Business Connections on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm here today with Heather Newton. Heather, what's up? How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Ben?
I'm doing fantastic. Guys, Heather is with Loop Brain Health. I specifically wanted to have her on because I'm obsessed with like how the brain works and how it affects our health. And personally, I had a mother who had multiple sclerosis, which is a neurological condition. So this is near to my heart. Instead of butchering what it is, let's start off like, what is Loop Brain Health? What is neurofeedback? Kind of give us a bird's eye view, Heather.
Sure, of course. So we are a QEEG brain mapping, neurofeedback, and brain health coaching operation. So I'll kind of go through those three things.
That's
so what we do
in
this office is we provide QEEG brain mapping, which basically is looking at brainwave activity across your entire brain. And what we're looking for in that report or during that process is basically, where is brainwave activity overactive? Where is it underactive? And where is it just right? It's kind of like Goldilocks, basically. And what we're creating during that brain mapping process is a very extensive report, which I spend a lot of time going through with clients, understanding how what we see in the brain map in terms of dysregulation may be relating back to root cause of some symptomology, meaning lack of focus, challenges with mental clarity, sleep issues, anxiety, that kind of thing. And then the second step in the process is, if that's true, if there is some brainwave dysregulation, and if we believe that that is causing some of your symptomology, folks can decide to move forward with us in a neurofeedback capacity. And neurofeedback is basically changing brainwave dysregulation or bringing it back to optimal through light and sound feedback. So the neurofeedback process is a feedback loop that we are giving the brain through light and sound, through a screen, encouraging that brainwave activity to move from non-optimal toward optimal. So it's training. It's something that is done over a period of time. People usually work with me for a couple of months. And the neurofeedback process is not only is it something that I feel very passionate about, but it's also something that as people are going through the process, they really tend to enjoy because they're seeing the benefits of their symptomology being reduced. So, and then the brain health coaching piece, I'm a certified brain health coach, which a lot of people are familiar with the term health coach. And if you put brain in front of that, all that means is that I'm really passionate about the fact that our brains are an organ and they're a highly stigmatized organ. And if we can reduce some of that stigma and look at our brains as an organ, just like any other organ in our body, and look at ways in which we can make healthy choices in life, we can change our brains better brain equals a better life, just like a better heart health equals a happier life, as does better brain health. So I talk to folks a lot about how they can improve their brain health through some pretty simple measures, and then sometimes through some more long-term measures as well.
So we have so much to talk about because everyone wants a better brain, a better life. A mentor and friend of mine always talks about taking out the trash, and he's talking about doing that inner work. And it's funny because we take out the trash every single day. We're not going to let an office garbage go untaken out for a week, but are we doing that kind of maintenance on our body, on our brain? I know personally, I've never had neurofeedback done. I don't even know what would come up in the initial study. But it's really interesting. So neurofeedback, I'm already on my phone all the time, and I'm on my laptop, and I'm talking to you on a TV. This is just me looking at a screen, and then that screen allows different brain waves to change in my body. Like that seems kind of like wow to me. What's going on?
you're not alone. So neurofeedback is operant conditioning. So think back to if you ever took psychology 101, right? Think back to that age-old experiment of teaching a rat to press a lever, right? And the way that you teach that rat in a cage to press a lever is to reward it with a piece of cheese. So what you're doing is teaching lever pressing activity, but you're doing that through a positive reward system. And the rat over time learns that if it wants that piece of cheese, it has to press the lever, right? The way that neurofeedback works is, again, if we're finding some brainwave dysregulation in that initial brain map, I would use technology on my end to set up what is called a protocol, basically. So let's use an example. Let's say, for example, you came to me and said, you know, I really just don't have the mental clarity I used to have. My level of focus, I'm bouncing all over the place. My thoughts are racing. I have a hard time falling asleep at night because I can't turn my brain off. And so we do a brain map, and what we discover is that you have a lot of very fast brainwave activity, particularly, I'm not saying that this is true about you particularly, Ben. I'm just using it as an example.
It's pretty close.
Let's just say you have a lot of very fast brainwave activity in the front right part of your head. You need faster brainwave activity in the front part of your head, but maybe you have too much of that because over time your brain has become dysregulated, right? So the way that we can bring your brain back to a more regulated state, closer to a more comfortable state, would be I would set up a training protocol. You would wear a piece of equipment on your head. It's a very small headband, and then also a sensor on your head, all of which is connected to an app on your phone or on your tablet. So when you plug in that piece of equipment and when it's connected to the app, what you're doing is you're actually indeed just watching a screen, meaning watching a game that's part of the app or watching a YouTube video. So it's in that way a very simple process. However, what is happening is as you are watching that screen in nanoseconds of time, as soon as your brain is doing exactly what we want it to do, which is calming down some of that fast brainwave activity in areas where it's too high, your brain gets a reward, which is the screen immediately gets brighter and the sound immediately gets louder. And as soon as your brain is reverting to old activity, the spinning, right? You don't get a reward, or your brain gets a darker screen and a quieter experience. And so what your brain learns very quickly is it's seeking reward. It's seeking the light. It wants to hear and it wants to see what it's watching. And so it continues to seek what we are training it to do. The reason that neurofeedback works over time is that it's training. So I'm not just asking you to do this once or twice. You're actually doing it every single day for 20 to 40 minutes a day, depending on the training protocol, across a 2-month period. So it's just like exercise, right? You can't expect to work out once and have that have a big effect on your body. But if you continually work out, you're going to see the positive effects. The beautiful thing about our brains is that they're neuroplastic. So if you teach them over a period of time to do something and it gets really good at it, what happens is it retires that old, less effective way of doing things and it adopts the newer way of doing things. That's neuroplasticity. And that's why neurofeedback is for all intents and purposes permanent, meaning that I work with my clients for a couple of months. And then by and large, I do not have repeat customers because people are really feeling better and going on with their lives. So that's in a nutshell what how neurofeedback works.
It's powerful. And define, I have a gist of the definition, but what exactly is neuroplasticity? Why is that so important for our brain when we're integrating, you know, this kind of thing to train it?
Yeah. So neuroplasticity is basically the brain's ability to make changes. The way I like to put it is you're not stuck with the brain you have today. So if your brain is not operating optimally, there are ways in which you can teach your brain to do something more optimally. And that's the magic of the human brain. It's the most complicated organ system in the universe. And yet we know that we can change, we can make changes in terms of the way that our brain is operating. And the neuroplasticity is the ability basically to make those changes. It's the way that our brains can make positive or quite honestly, negative changes. In our case, we're certainly trying to make positive changes.
Yeah. So it's no harm, no foul if we've done things that have maybe created negative habits in our lives, but this is a way to ultimately focus on the positive, grow the brain, you know, help our focus, help our sleep, get it to stop rambling and running at times. I'm wondering, and I don't know if I'm supposed to ask this, but I think it's important to know, like, let's say I were to go to the gym and have a trainer and I'm using a bench press, but they put on 3 times the weight I can handle, I'm going to hurt myself. Is there any kind of dangers when so I don't know enough about the brain. I don't do this kind of thing. Like, is there a way that I could create a miswiring or create an issue by doing this kind of thing, kind of break the brain the way I would have braked myself trying to lift that weight?
Yeah. So great question. So neurofeedback, let me answer your question with Please. A very, very brief history lesson. So neurofeedback has been around for over 50 years. This is not new. For many people, it feels brand new because of technology. So I'll get there. So neurofeedback started in very large university hospitals. It was basically, you know, we had mainframes that were the size of buildings that were basically trying to understand brainwave activity. And if you wanted to do neurofeedback for many, many years, you needed to go into a large hospital setting. It was very cumbersome because, again, you need to do this repeatedly. So you were going in for many, many appointments and it was extremely expensive. What's happened in the past 10 years and really even more so in the past 5 years is because technology has advanced so quickly, we're able to offer neurofeedback to many, many more people than we ever were. And it's becoming more affordable and much more accessible. What we know based on all of that, because there's been research going on that whole time, is that neurofeedback is incredibly safe. It is completely non-invasive, and there are almost no side effects to neurofeedback. You really can't damage a brain by doing neurofeedback at all. What you're doing is you're encouraging your brain to return to, you're training your that muscle, that brain, to return to a level of homeostasis. We do that in a very gentle way. So nothing is going into your brain. When I say sensors are going on your head, there's no electrostim. There's nothing. There are ways to do that, but that's not what we do here in our office. Mm-hmm. What we do is we're reading your brainwave activity and giving your brain feedback, encouraging your brain to, again, in that example that I gave, quiet some of that faster brainwave activity. It's done very gradually over time. The one thing that I will say that I always tell people as a caveat when they begin neurofeedback is the number one side effect to neurofeedback is you're tired, particularly in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that is because we're asking you to do something hard on your brain, right? It's challenging because you're watching a screen and your brain is learning something new. So we all know that feeling, even if it feels great, of you have a huge project that you're working on at work and you get done and you're like, whoo, I didn't work out today, but I am exhausted, right? Or you have a big presentation, whatever it might be. That's what neurofeedback is doing. Again, you're forming new connections in your brain and that's hard, but there isn't a danger in doing that. There really are no dangers in doing that. Certainly with the brain, you obviously need training and certification and so on and so forth. But within that, it really is a very safe, non-invasive way to train your brain.
Love it. I'm all about training my brain to be better. It's something that a lot of the things you described with anxiety or loss of focus, or we all go through that. So is there any kind of red flag that someone needs to look into this? Is this something anyone can look into? Are there any red flags? What are your opinions on what we should kind of pay attention to?
Sure. So our offices, so we are an affiliate of Tree of Hope Counseling, meaning that we live in a mental health space, a mental health community. I also partner with a lot of people in the community who are sort of, I would say, broadly a part of the wellness slash peak performance community, right? So those are kind of two buckets of people, right? So the first set of people who often you know, come to our offices are people who are already working with a licensed therapist. They're looking for a different modality to approach some of the mental health challenges that they're working on with their therapist, for example. The brain map in itself, what I always say to folks is, even if you're not sure that you want to proceed with neurofeedback, the brain map process within itself is incredibly validating. And the reason for that is it's often the first time, again, that somebody has a literal picture of what's happening underneath their symptomology. And so it can be really validating to say, you know, I've lived this way my whole life, or gee, I always thought that maybe it was because something I was doing wasn't helping with my anxiety. But if you can understand where that's coming from, again, obviously neurofeedback could be helpful, but it also is really validating just to go through that process alone. The other set of people that I'm working with are people, again, who are basically sort of at a base level, feel like, you know, I'm doing pretty well, I'm moving along in my life, but, you know, again, that brain fog, it's really challenging to me. Or I used to feel better because my sleep wasn't so disruptive. If I could get my sleep under control, then maybe I would feel better during the day, right? So that set of people is coming not necessarily sort of through the therapist or mental health door. They're coming through more of the wellness, peak performance. And what all of us have in common is, what are ways in which we can help you address your brain health from a holistic perspective, right? Our brains are the commonality in terms of the work that we're doing, but the body and the brain are very connected. And I think sometimes we forget that. And so to connect those things for people, I think, is really helpful.
So helpful. I'm thinking about all the things I've done and people in my life. There's, you know, human design reading, there's a strengths finder. If you're in sales, it's actually looking at the amount of calls, the amount of connections and percentages. Mm-hmm. I personally had a gut test at one point and got really good at it. The gut test said my brain was awesome, but that was just a gut test. But I've done all these things. So many people I've known have done all these things. This is just like that, just kind of getting clarity on how we function and who we are so we can be better going forward. It's really that simple, right? When you do that brain map.
Yep. It's absolutely that simple. It really is. And it provides many, many people with so much clarity that, you know, again, in a 2-hour appointment, some people walk out of here and say, well, why didn't I do this before? And what my response to that is, that's part of my job, right? Part of my job is recognizing that this is not something that's widely known about or widely talked about. And that's, again, because of the technology piece, right? It feels very, very new to most people. And so a lot of my job, in addition to being a practitioner, is education, because I think it's really important to do not only just our Greater Rochester community, but our global community a service of teaching people about ways in which they can approach their brain health that they may or may not have ever thought of or known about in the first place.
I love it. Heather, in a second, I'm going to change the topic. But before we do, again, we're both from Greater Rochester, but then there's global listeners as well. What should someone locally do to reach out to you? And what's someone globally could reach out to you as well? What should they do? How should
Absolutely.
They reach out?
For sure. The best place to start would just be to send me an email, info@loopbrainhealth.com. Whether you live across the street or around the world, that's the best way to initially set up an appointment with me. I always do, you know, free consultations with people on the phone, just to give them, again, a general overview of what it is that we do in our office. And the beautiful thing about, again, this advance in technology is that I love when people are local and they can come into the office for that initial brain map. So I can meet them face to face and go through the report, but that is not necessary. I can do all of my work from a virtual perspective. So the neurofeedback itself is done virtually in your home. And so I'm checking in with people consistently over that 2-month period. We usually meet by Zoom. I share reporting. And again, there's no need to come back into the office after that initial appointment. But if you live someplace that is inconvenient for you to be able to get into our physical offices, then certainly I can begin and end the process completely virtually and have the same effect. So it's really nice in that regard.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Heather. I want to slow down to speed back up because I want to get into some just general tips in a little bit. But one thing I love to do that I dove into the topic with you because I think we're both very passionate about this thing. Mm-hmm. We haven't really talked about the story behind the story. Like what got you interested in this study, in this field, in this industry in the first place? Like where did it all start?
Yeah. So thank you for asking that. So I come to this work with a lot of personal heart and empathy and passion. So I grew up in a home. My mom is now in recovery, but grew up in a home where alcoholism was very much a part of my story growing up, spent a lot of time in sort of peer recovery rooms through that process. My husband and I have 3 children, the oldest of whom is now 22 and lives with a very serious mental illness and also challenges with addiction. And so through his story, which really began with an ADHD diagnosis when he was very young in elementary school and kind of progressed from there, we found not only did we discover literally everything there is to know, I think, about the mental health system, from outpatient to inpatient to residential treatment centers to wilderness programs to you name it. And we have been there, but we also found neurofeedback through that process. Mm-hmm. And we found it at a point where, just as I was describing, we said, oh my goodness, this brain map is so validating and revealing. Why didn't we know about this?
Yeah.
Right? We've been in so many different doctor's offices. We've talked to so many different people. And yet we came upon it late. And I'm not saying that to point fingers at anybody. Again, this is a big educational process, right? And so through that, I became very passionate about this as a professional adventure. I formerly was also the CEO at NAMI Rochester, which is a national organization, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and the local chapter here in Rochester. And so as I was growing the practice, as I was more deeply enmeshed in the mental health system, I just really am, again, very passionate about educating people, not just about neurofeedback and QEEG brain mapping, but the connection between the fact that our brain is an organ and there is fascinating research that is literally unfolding as you and I speak right now that I believe is going to change the face of the way that we look at mental illness and the way that we treat mental health conditions going forward. So I just feel really excited to be a very small part of it here, here at Loop Brain Health.
Yeah. Even if you're playing a small role, you're part of that ripple. That tipping point is something that's going to be huge. Wow. I mean, and it's, if we were to live and ask people to raise their hands as to who's late to the game on this kind of stuff, I think most of us are. This is maybe a little bit of philosophical question, but I'm curious kind of from your opinion, well, why do you think this kind of process isn't common knowledge? Well, why isn't this something that people are, when it comes to my gut, my brain, my heart, my health, like I feel like that should be in the forefront of our conversations, but it's kind of not. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, what I would say about brain health specifically is stigma still plays a huge role. Mental health, even though we have made enormous strides, and quite honestly, one of the very few silver linings about that global pandemic that we all feel sort of is in the rearview mirror, but is certainly still present, is that it brought forward, it sped ahead some of the conversations around mental health that were really percolating, but it just kind of opened everything up because we didn't have a choice but to talk about some of the things that a lot of people had been experiencing, right? So I feel like we are now in a place where stigma is certainly still alive, and absolutely we need to continue to educate people about the effects that stigma can have around mental health. However, I feel like we're really at a crossroads, and I quite honestly, in some ways, Ben, I'm not a great person to answer that question because I'm so steeped.
Yes.
You know, everything in my social media field is about, and feed is about mental health. Everything I'm reading it. So I don't have a great perspective, to be honest with you. But what I will say is what I feel very encouraged by is that young people are talking about their mental health and taking care of their brain health in a very different way than people who are in my generation, and certainly people who are in my parents' or grandparents' generation. And that is encouraging to me because it means that the young researchers who are graduating from college now, the young people who are going into the mental health field, the young people who may become, you know, neurofeedback practitioners or gut health professionals, or maybe they take on this role of, you know, being a nutritionist who also has brain health expertise, who also knows something about, you know, meditation and yoga and bringing all those things together. Those are the avenues that I think this next generation is really going to open up. And so I feel encouraged, not that I'm certainly putting myself out to pasture, yes, but I am feeling encouraged that those conversations are happening.
They are. And let's make talk about mental health cool. Like I'm thinking about when I was younger, there was a separation between, let's just say, like jocks and nerds. And nowadays you look at like an Elon Musk or a Brene Brown, total nerds, that they're cool. Like let's make these conversations normal, right?
Exactly. Absolutely.
So let's normalize it in the fact that, so I know I'm going to get a brain map because all the reasons I already just said, like I've done personality and gut tests, but I don't know my brain to that level. Mm-hmm. Like it's, wow. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I'm like at a loss of words thinking about what I can discover.
I really am a very kind person. I really, and honestly, actually, what I should say, and I'm not suggesting that this will necessarily happen to you, but I can't tell you the number of people who actually at some point during that reporting process in my office, I mean, in all seriousness, who do end up in tears. And again, it's not because I've upset them purposely at all. It's because they feel this level of validation and relief that they can see why they may be feeling the way that they're feeling. And that is really powerful. That is what brings me back to this again and again and again, because it's powerful. Not only is it powerful for the person who's experiencing, it's powerful for me because I feel like I've been able to, through the work that I do, unveil that for them. And it's exciting.
It's beautiful. I mean, I'm not a dietitian, but I guarantee any dietitian can jump in and agree. There's things like spinach that in some guts actually create acidity and isn't good for the body. But you don't know that unless you do a gut test. So I can imagine a brain test is the exact same way. This doesn't have to be, oh my God, like I've been eating spinach. And no, it's like now that we know, we can just stop doing the things that hurt us and start doing the things that help us, right?
Exactly. And that actually, it brings up another thought in for me, which is brainwave dysregulation happens for a variety of reasons, right? It could just be biology. You were born that way, right? You were born with, again, going back to your fast brainwaves in the front. Maybe you were just born with really fast brainwaves. You kind of came out of the womb that way, right? It could be because you've had a head injury. And so your actual brain has experienced some true dysregulation through a physical trauma. It could be because you have experienced a trauma, and trauma is a big word right now. But what I mean by trauma is how your brain has experienced something that you find upsetting and how your brain carries and remembers that. So not necessarily how the outside world is defining what might be challenging for you to hold and carry, but how your brain reacts to that, right? And it may mean a series of very stressful events that happen over a period of time. It may mean a singular event. The nice thing about the brain mapping process is it doesn't really matter if any or all of those things are true. And quite honestly, again, human beings are complicated. Brains are complicated. In many cases, there's no singular reason why, right, a brain becomes dysregulated. But the nice thing is that the brain map can reveal the dysregulation regardless of why that may have occurred. So that's the beautiful thing.
Love it. Again, we'll talk offline, but I'll come get brain mapped myself.
I can't wait.
Aside from the brain map, are there different, just, I want to say exercises, but like, what can we do on a day-to-day basis, on a moment-to-moment basis, just to ensure that we're taking care of our brain health, that we're not, you know, using that neuroplasticity in a negative way and actually hurting our brain? Are there general, just kind of broad stroke tips for anyone to just really take care of their brain?
Yeah, 100%. And they're really simple and really obvious once you think about it, because it's basically, you know, think about what a doctor would tell you to take care of your heart health, right? So what I say to people, and I actually have a little card that I send home with people when they're doing neurofeedback, just to say to people, you know what, you're taking care of your brain health specifically during this 2-month period. Here are the other couple of really simple things I want you to make sure you're doing. Drink enough water. And by enough water, I mean half good, excellent, half of your body weight. So take your body weight, divide it in half, and drink that number of ounces of water every single day. You'd be amazed. Even if you think you drink a lot of water, you'd be amazed by how much better you start to feel. Move your body every day for at least 20 minutes or half an hour. And by which I don't mean you have to join an expensive gym and you have to hire a trainer or you have to become a marathon runner. Just move your body, whatever that means for you. You can play pickleball. You can go for a walk. You can garden. You could, you know, play with your dog. I mean, it doesn't matter. Just move your body around to get your heart going. And then the other thing I talk to people a lot about is their sleep hygiene. Because if you are not getting good rest, your brain is not going into a rest and recovery process. And that sleep from the night before, and often it's not the sleep from the night before that makes you feel kind of crummy and brain foggy the next day. It's the past 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 nights of sleep that are kind of accumulating and you're not feeling well. So by sleep hygiene, I mean, turn off those screens at night, have a bedtime routine, make sure that you, again, are, you know, in a dark space, that you have set yourself up so that you can actually get the required rest that you need so that the next day you're feeling your best self. A lot of brain health, again, is just like taking care of the rest of your body. You want to increase blood flow, right? You want to decrease inflammation and you want to get as much oxygen to that brain as you possibly can. So brains are the most oxygen and energy hungry organ in the human body. If you can feed your brain more oxygen, if you can get that blood flow going, you are going to feel better.
I love that last part because I've been dabbling with breath work and sometimes I almost feel lightheaded by the amount of breathing coming in and out. A lot of us, I think, breathe shallowly and maybe don't sleep great and don't realize the maybe cumulative effects of not doing these things properly, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some of the other things that I talk to people about, you know, through my coaching work is, for example, progressive relaxation techniques, right? So some people are really familiar with progressive relaxation, but some people are like, what are you talking about, right? So in essence, using a method, a very sort of standardized method of taking every single muscle, every single body part in your body, tensing it up as tightly as you can until you don't think you can do that anymore, and then releasing it. And by the time you kind of work from head to toe, people are amazed by how much more relaxed they feel, right? So it can be done just before bed. It can be done at really any time of day. And the nice thing about progressive relaxation is no one has to know you're doing it. So you can just kind of do it whenever it's convenient for you. The other thing I talk to a lot of people about is I'm certified in heart rate variability. So I don't know if that means anything to you, but there are more pathways from your heart to your brain than there are from your brain to your heart. Meaning, and every person's heartbeat varies a little bit, right? It doesn't beat it very completely consistently throughout the day and night. That variability, when it gets a little bit too varied, feels to your brain like it should be concerned about something, right? So it's sending a signal to your brain saying, all is not well. I'm sensing that, you know, that things are feeling a little bit off. That means, for example, that I need to be worried about something, or I need to feel like the other shoe is about to drop, or all those things that we know when we feel, when our central nervous system doesn't feel settled. So there are ways in which, through a breathing method, and then there's also technology that you can use to help people calm down that heart rate variability, which then is the effect overall is a very positive effect on your brain health and your mental health, because you're bringing down some of that central nervous system anxiety and dysregulation.
Any recommended resources for people to go a little bit deeper on these specific topics?
Yeah, I mean, the one for heart rate variability specifically, I would spend some time on a website called HeartMath, M-A-T-H. There are certainly areas in which you can, pay for some of their webinars and so forth, but they have a lot of free resources. I think it's an excellent website. From a neurofeedback standpoint, there are a couple of different entities. The BCIA is one of them. There is also, it's called the AAPB, which is another. Basically, those are sort of overall, clubs basically for neurofeedback nerds, essentially. And then I would also spend some time just generally looking at, there are tons and tons of apps around meditation, heart rate variability, really looking at, there are brain training apps in terms of, training games and that kind of thing. So there are lots of ways to as you're starting to explore some of this, to look at some, some apps and resources online as well.
Yeah, a lot of the listeners are go-getters, and I know I'm going to go down a rabbit hole of resources and information, so it's a blessing for me. Give us, in a minute, we're just going to have fun and do the rapid fire round, but I kind of want to close the section, and if there's specific NDAs, you don't have to go anywhere, you're not allowed to go, but any examples of someone who came in maybe with a mental disorder or anxiety or exhaustion or brain fog, or they don't feel themselves and they started taking those daily habits to, breathe better, sleep better, and take the daily action, but also utilize the brain map in neurofeedback. Is there any examples, and what did that transformation look like for any given person?
Sure. So I'll give you a couple of examples just to kind of sort of walk through the range in which this can be helpful.
Yeah.
So I worked with a gentleman, this is a number of, actually it was well over a year ago now, who had been working with several mental health professionals and also with a doctor, was not really making progress in terms of his social anxiety had gotten to a point where he could not leave his house. He had lost his job. And not only that, it had manifested into some physical challenges for him, embarrassing physical challenges. Namely, when he left his house, his face became so red, he was completely embarrassed. The skin on his hands was beginning to peel. It was really a very unpleasant situation. So he came to me. He did manage to get himself to my office. We worked together. We did his brain map. He really dug in with neurofeedback. Okay, so here's the key with neurofeedback. I know this is going to come as a shock, but if you don't do it, it doesn't work. So this is, again, the reason that I often spend a lot of time coaching people, because if you sit here in my office and say, yes, I'm going to do some neurofeedback, and then I send you home and say, you must do this 20 minutes a day, and you don't, I don't have very good results. So at any rate, this particular person really committed to the process. And by the end, the conversation with him was, my life has been transformed. I have been able to leave my house. I've been able to go and have, he wasn't going to huge parties, but he was able to go and have, a coffee with a friend. He was able to really begin to put his life together, to gain employment. And for him, certainly, again, he was surrounded by a team of people, but at that point in his life, neurofeedback was really the key to getting him the progress that he was really looking for. So that's an example. I have another example of a woman who brought her daughter to me. daughter had come with an ADHD diagnosis, again, was working with somebody around the ADHD, and did not want this child to be put on medication. That was the mom's goal for this child. And so she said, well, I know that there's an enormous amount of research around ADHD and neurofeedback and the efficacy, and might we try this? Again, worked with daughter herself, who is a young person, under 12 years old, was really committed to the process. And again, this story to me was really, it gave me goosebumps when mom said this, because it was not just mom saying, wow, I'm really seeing changes in my daughter, and daughter saying, oh my goodness, like, my explosive outbursts are much lower. I'm able to concentrate at school. My grades are going up. The thing that really got me in that particular situation was mom told me that a friend's child asked if this girl that I was working with was doing something because this friend had really noticed positive changes in her. Yeah. And that was coming from, again, an under 12 peer group. And that to me said, aha, this was something that was really transformative to them. And not only has it been, positive in her family life and in her school life, but also in her friendship as well. And those are just two examples. They're sort of broad ranging, but that's again why I'm so passionate about this work, because I love being a part of that change.
It's amazing. And it sounds like in some cases it might be a little reactive, and in other cases, tremendously proactive. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm a long-term thinker, and I'm just thinking like that this girl is probably just going to be a rock star because she went through this process. Like she's probably going to be the next president or something, all because she started young. You never know. But so this really is something that could benefit just about anybody.
It really is. It really is. And certainly, and again, the brain map is really the key to that process, because if what I'm seeing in the brain map is dysregulation that's matching up with your symptomology and your experience, then neurofeedback can be helpful. Of course, if we look at the brain map and you're saying, that doesn't resonate with me at all, well then, okay, then it's time to refer out, because clearly the basis of your discomfort is not in brainwave dysregulation. But yes, it is fairly broad ranging in terms of the help that it can provide.
Yeah, it's least worth considering. And as you mentioned, you've got like a team of partners that if it maybe is a diet issue or something different, you can send them to that person as well.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep, for sure.
So I often like to just kind of end having fun with like a rapid fire round, random, either or, fill in the blank, skip, up to you. But okay. Often start with coffee or tea.
Coffee.
That was an emphatic coffee.
Oh, yeah. Never tea.
How do you drink? Well, how do you prepare your coffee?
Black, strong black. That's it.
Love it. My new office is actually right next to Joe Bean Coffee Roasters.
Oh, nice. I listened to your interview with the owner of Joe Bean.
Yeah. Their coffee's incredible. So recommendation there.
Nice.
We're in the Northeast. Favorite time of year? Favorite season?
Fall.
Let's do a couple fun ones. Okay, so you've achieved massive things with everything you're doing, which this is really just the start. And they decide to do a movie about your life. What actress... What actress is going to play Heather?
Oh my God.
I know that's a big one.
What actress is going to play Heather? Meryl Streep. I mean, Meryl Streep's a rock star.
Yeah, Meryl Streep. I love it. Can we do a couple bigger ones? Well sure. let me ask you this. What are you learning right now? Like, what is new that you're already very well read in all of this stuff? Like, you're very passionate about it. Is there anything new that you're learning right now? Anything you're studying?
What am I learning? I would say what I'm really interested in right now actually has nothing to do with my work, but I was recently given a skill saw. And so I'm reading a lot about what I do with the skill saw and how I can do some construction work on my house. I'm sort of launching into a new potential little hobby.
I love that. And let's talk about hobbies, because we talked about work a lot. Like, it's the weekend, you're looking to relax, just decompress, do something you love, what are some of the things we might find you doing on a weekend or just on your free time?
This time of year, definitely digging around in my garden. I'm a gardener. It's my release. It's the place where I am very happy getting nice and dirty. We have lots of animals in my house, a couple of cats, a couple of dogs, a hedgehog. So playing with my animals, my house is full of children also. So with my kids and my husband and my family. And then one of the things that I love most about living in this Rochester community is the people. I just love the people here, and we have an amazing group of friends. And so we spend a ton of time, just, you know, hanging out with friends. Doesn't have to be a big deal, but either, you know, meeting for drinks someplace or meeting up to play pickle or paddleball, but love our friendship community.
I knew you were a pickleball player earlier when you were talking about exercise, and that was the first thing you said. You said you could play pickleball, you can garden, you can take a walk.
Truth be told, I'm not. My husband is much more of a paddle sport guy than I, but I'm really trying to dig into the pickleball piece because I know that A, it's actually really good for your brain, and B, because it's a lot of fun and it's social.
Love it. So for the Rochesterians out there, you said going out with friends, just spending time with great people. Any favorite spots, whether it's dining, a park, like any favorite places to meet and socialize?
Yeah, I mean, love being in the Finger Lakes. So anytime we can spend time on the lakes in this community, it's fantastic. The Rochester Public Market is amazing. We just last night were at the auditorium, went to see a show there and take advantage of, you know, of the arts in this community. So, and we have, we're big sort of front porch people. So we tend to spend a lot of time on our front porch or other people's houses as well, just kind of hanging out,
enjoying the weather again. Yeah. We're recording in spring. This will probably come out in, I think, June, July, beautiful time of year. And,
absolutely. Yeah. I guess my answers would be different a different time of year.
Yeah, well, and we get all the seasons in this area, which is great. So we get a little bit of everything. Right. Out of everything we talked about today, leave us with, you know, one action step to start integrating what we learned. What should someone go and do? We've talked about a lot of things. Kind of give us a summary of what we can go and do to help us going forward.
In terms of brain health?
Yeah, brain health, happiness, fulfillment, no more fog, so on and so forth.
I would say the number one thing change you can make right now today is drink enough water. That is the number one change. The second thing I would say is consider getting your brain mapped because it really is a very informative process. And I have yet to have somebody leave my office and say they regretted doing it. So reach out and we can arrange that.
And how do people reach out? Tell us once again.
So either find us on our website, www.loopbrainhealth.com or info@loopbrainhealth.com, and you'll reach me.
Love it. Heather, thanks for coming on. We joked beforehand. I have a cold, but I even told you, I'm like, this is my favorite thing to do. So I don't know if the listeners can hear the rasp in my voice, but literally time just flew by with you. This is fascinating. I'm going to get my brain. What's it called again? Oh my God. Brain map.
We'll help you with your brain fog.
I'm going to get my brain mapped and maybe share the results with the community. That would be interesting as well.
That would be interesting. We could do that as a part two of today. That would be fascinating.
That would be. And if anybody's listening and they want someone to kind of hold their hand and work with them to do this because they're nervous, kind of like I am, send me a DM and we'll kind of just both get it done. And then we can share results and kind of hold each other accountable. So that offer exists for any listener that's interested. Heather, did we miss anything? I feel like we covered a lot of ground.
I don't think so. This has been an absolute delight. Thank you so much. You're such a pleasure to talk to, such an easy conversation. And I agree, the time flew by. So thank you. Thank you, Ben. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.